Chapter 1. 1 month later. Mark my words, Joe. Sex will lead to the end of the world as we know it. Colin Lyons glanced at the hospital bed where his adoptive father and mentor lay sleeping. Asleep, not dead. Thank God. After finding out Joe had had a stroke, Colin had hightailed it home from South America. He'd been covering a rigged election in a country where money laundering commingled with drug trafficking and guns blazed on the sun-baked streets. Now, 1 week later, Colin sat in the quiet hospital room watching the monitors prove to him Joe was alive. In the background, snow fell outside, a serene and peaceful reminder of winter, of Christmas, of life and hope. Colin had taken leave from his job to come home and run Joe's beloved Ashford Times until the older man recovered, only to discover that he'd been usurped. Prior to his stroke, Joe hadn't been feeling well, yet instead of calling on Colin, Joe had given his second wife, Corinne, power of attorney, which she'd used to almost run the newspaper and Joe's legacy into the ground. Colin's stomach cramped and twisted with guilt, because he hadn't been around when Joe needed him. Worse, Joe hadn't thought his health was important enough to bother Colin with while he was on assignment. He glanced toward the bed. A loud snoring sound reassured him that Joe wasn't down for the count. The doctors promised a full recovery, and he'd already begun the slow road toward recuperation, but time was something neither Colin nor the Times had on their side. "Do you know that Corinne's turning the paper into a fluff fest?" he asked, wondering if his words would penetrate Joe's sleepy fog. They didn't. Joe's mouth opened wider in slumber as the clock on the wall ticked away the minutes of the day. Colin didn't mind. There's a new blog on the online site called Meet and Greet, matchmaking for the aging but still sexually inclined. Colin didn't expect a reply, and wasn't surprised when he didn't get one. He not only blamed Corinne for the beginning of the paper's change away from hard news, but also for squandering the bank account, not keeping up with advertising, and her general lack of oversight. She'd brought the paper to the brink of bankruptcy, then foolishly thought she could fix things herself, beginning by moving Emma Montgomery, a spunky senior citizen and his best friend's grandmother, from a desk job to a columnist. He leaned back in his chair. "Emma means well, but she takes this matchmaking thing too far. It's Christmas season, right? I had to stop her from hanging mistletoe and us getting slapped with a sexual harassment lawsuit." Colin doubted Joe knew how bad the Times's financial situation was, and telling him would only add stress and compromise his recovery. Besides, Colin already had things under temporary control. He'd borrowed money from Ron Gold, an old friend of Joe's, who believed, like Colin, that the paper had to return to the hard news that had made it a success to begin with. Based on a gentleman's handshake, Colin had promised to do everything in his power to shift things back. Colin could handle working on Corinne to effect a change, but he needed time. Ron Gold understood. The paper's biggest advertiser didn't. They demanded Corinne's promise in writing to turn things around, focus on the news, and get rid of the, in their opinion, risque columns that now graced the front page and the main page online. Otherwise, they threatened to pull their new ads scheduled for the first of the year, and the Times would lose its largest source of funding. Then even Ron Gold's loan wouldn't save them. Colin had until January 1, no longer. And he had no idea how to accomplish his goal with a woman who wouldn't listen to reason. "Hello, Colin." Corinne breezed into the room, bringing with her the scent of heavy perfume. "How is he?" She walked over to the bed and stroked Joe's forehead. Her gentle treatment of Joe didn't mesh with Colin's perception of her as being cold and self-absorbed. Then again, he hadn't been home often enough in the last couple of years to know her well. "He's sleeping." She nodded and shrugged her jacket off her shoulders, revealing a low-cut designer suit. Like the direction she was taking the paper.